Well, we're thankful for today and what the day means to us today. Kind of a special time. I'd like to look in Isaiah, the 53rd chapter. These are probably some of my favorite scriptures, prophecy of Christ. It starts out Isaiah 53:1 says, "Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed?" Well, I hope we all believe the report this morning. We'll read verse 4. It says, "Surely he hath borne our griefs, carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shears is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment. And who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. He made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death. Because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see of the travail of his soul, and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many. For he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors." Well, we all, like sheep, have gone astray. It just seems like when we start out with life, we have a tendency to want to do our own thing and go our own direction. But the Lord has mercy. The Lord works with people. He talks to hearts. He has different ways and means to communicate with people. But we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. We're thankful for the depth of these scriptures. There's so many things in there about him opening not his mouth. He didn't try to defend himself before Pilate, said Pilate marveled. He knew his purpose. He knew he was. That's why he came into the world, to give his life for us. He didn't try to defend himself. He allowed himself. And he made it very clear that no man took his life from him, but he laid it down of himself. He made that very clear in his teachings, that it was his choice, his decision to offer up his life for us. There's so many in there about him, his death with the wicked, and he was laid in the sepulcher of the rich. That was in Isaiah 53. I'm just thankful today that God has made a plan for us. It brought Brother Galen in Corinthians. It mentions that by man came death into the world. God didn't create death. It was because of man's transgression, man's disobedience to God, that death came into the world. But it said also by man came the resurrection. It came life through Jesus Christ, because he gave his life for us. I want to turn now to the Gospel of John in the 19th chapter. And I'd like to read in verse, we'll start in verse 25. It says, "Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister Mary, the wife of Cleophas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple standing by, whom he loved, he saith unto his mother, Woman, behold thy son. Then saith he to the disciple, Behold thy mother. And from that hour that disciple took her unto his own home. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, saith, I thirst. Now there was set a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled the sponge with vinegar and put it upon hyssop and put it to his mouth. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, It is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost." You know, there's another one of the other gospels that said that he cried with a loud cry and he gave up the ghost. You know, Jesus was, he was God, but he was also man. He was flesh and blood. Also, he felt the pain that he endured. All the things that came against him, he felt it all. He was man and also God in the flesh. I want to go now down to verse 38. And said, "After this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews, besought Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus, and Pilate gave him leave. He came therefore and took the body of Jesus. And there came also Nicodemus, which at the first came to Jesus by night." You know, I'm so glad Nicodemus is in here. You know, Nicodemus had a desire. He sought Jesus out privately. He had some questions. He didn't understand. There was things that he didn't understand. But I believe Nicodemus was taking hold of something. I believe his heart was reaching out after God. "And Nicodemus, which at the first came to Jesus by night and brought a mixture." Remember, Nicodemus said, "Well, how can a man be born when he's old? How can he be born again? How can he..." He didn't understand. He didn't comprehend, did he? But he was seeking. And here it says, "He came to Jesus by night, brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100-pound weight. Then took they the body of Jesus and wound it in linen clothes with the spices, as the manner of the Jews is to bury. Now in the place where he was crucified, there was a garden, and in the garden a new sepulchre wherein was never man yet laid. There laid they Jesus. Therefore, because of the Jews, preparation day for the sepulchre was nigh at hand." You know, Jesus told them different times. He mentioned about his death to the disciples, and they didn't comprehend. They wasn't able to get a hold of it. It was, number one, they probably didn't want it. They probably didn't want to think about that, number one, to see Jesus crucified. He had done so much good. They saw his life that he had given to people, and he raised Lazarus from the dead right there close to the end of his, before coming into Jerusalem. And I'm sure it was hard for them. It had been hard for us, I believe. I don't think probably we would have been much different. But the trauma of seeing him on the cross, and Jesus told him different times. Well, he mentioned one time, he said, the world is going to rejoice, and you're going to mourn. But as a woman that travails with a child, she has anguish because her hour was near. But she rejoices once the child is born. And he likened that unto his disciples. He said, you're going to mourn. You're going to be troubled. You could put a whole lot of things in there. Perplexed. disillusioned. You know, they were close enough here. John, the disciple Jesus loved, Jesus spoke to them from the cross. They were in close enough proximity that they saw him, they recognized him. Jesus recognized them. He saw him there. And they were able to converse with each other. The trauma of being that close and seeing that, I believe, made it very difficult, because we find, let's go into verse chapter 20, verse 1. It said, the first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. Then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and saith unto them, they have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him. Peter therefore went forth, and that other disciple, and came to the sepulchre. So they ran both together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter, and came first to the sepulchre. And he, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen clothes lying, yet went he not in. Then cometh Simon Peter following him, and went into the sepulchre, and seeth the linen clothes lie, and the napkin that was about his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Then went in also that other disciple which came first to the sepulchre, and he saw and believed. For as yet they knew not the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again into their own home. But Mary stood without at the sepulchre weeping, and as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre, and seeth two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. And they say unto her, woman, why weepest thou? And she saith unto them, because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. And Jesus saith unto her, woman, Why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, Sir, if thou have borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus saith unto her, Mary. And she turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. Oh my, what a scene. To be able to be there at the tomb to see the empty grave, and to then see Jesus when he mentioned her name, Mary, he recognized him and saw him. And he said, Jesus saith unto her, Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren, and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and to your God. And Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord, and that he had spoken these things unto her. You know, the disciples, I believe when Jesus finally saw them, he upbraided them for their hardness of heart. Mary had told them that he had resurrected, but it did say that John, I believed when he saw the empty tomb. But they still had a lot of questions. They still had a lot of things until Jesus began to reveal himself to them. And then the one time he told Thomas, you know, he said, I will not believe unless I see the nail prints and I touch his side. I will not believe. And Jesus revealed himself to them. He appeared in their midst. And he said to Thomas, you know, the Lord knows what we say in our heart, doesn't he? The Lord knew what Thomas said. And he gave Thomas a direct reply, a direct response. Reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands. And reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side. And be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, My Lord and my God. You know, I think about the scripture in Isaiah said, Who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Everybody doesn't see Christ revealed in the natural sense. We don't see God. I have never seen Jesus in person. I have definitely felt his presence. I have had different revelations in my life where spiritual things was revealed to me in a spiritual way. It wasn't flesh and blood. And I've had those things in my life, but I've never seen Jesus face to face. I've never seen the brass feet, the fire in his eyes, the brightness of his appearance. I've never seen Jesus that way. But I believe in him this morning with all of my heart. I believe the scriptures. At one time I didn't. One time I didn't know. Growing up, I knew my grandmother prayed and I knew people prayed. But he hadn't been revealed to me. The first time that God was revealed to me, and I didn't see him then. I didn't see his person. But we were on the way home from Monarch. I'd gotten baptized. And I've told this before. But the clouds on one side of the road, they look peaceful. They look serene and calm. And just on the other side of the highway, the clouds looked troubled. They looked stormy. They looked perplexing and confusing, disorderly. And I prayed. Not out loud. I was praying to myself. My grandmother was driving the car, and I think there was some cousins in the back seat. But I prayed, and I said, Lord, that's what I want for my life. And when I did, I felt a peace that I'd never had. And I knew He was real. And I knew He was there with me. He was revealed to my spirit, my inner man. Different people have had different experiences of Christ, of God. We've read the Apostle Paul's experience on the road to Damascus, persecuting the church, throwing him in prison, making life hard for the saints. And he heard a voice and a great light. Christ was revealed to him. It totally turned his life around. It totally changed who he was. It changed his name from Paul to, or Saul to Paul. He was a different person. We want the Lord to be revealed to us. We want God to be revealed. It's not enough just to read the scriptures, to go to church, to try to live a good life. We've got to seek for Christ to be revealed to ourselves, to us individually. I think about the verse where Jesus talked about the grain of mustard seed. No, the grain of wheat. He said, except a grain of wheat or corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, he said it abides alone. But if it dies, it's able to bring forth fruit. You know, the seeds that we put into the ground, the moisture, the warmth, cause that outer shell to begin to break down. And the scripture we read earlier in Isaiah said, all we like sheep have gone astray, we have turned everyone to his own way. You know, there's a hardness about the human heart. There's a, just like Thomas, you know, said, I'm not going to believe this unless I see it. He made up his mind. It was like he didn't want to believe. I wonder today sometimes if some people don't want to believe because they're satisfied with their own life, satisfied with their own way. But you know, as we come to the place, and I believe God works with people, He works with all of us in life. I believe he allows sometimes difficult things to come into our life to touch us. It's not to destroy us, but it's to help us to recognize our need of him, our need of his help. And as we begin to, at those times, if we will repent, ask God forgiveness, turn our hearts to him. You know, that's that outer shell being broken down. And that can give way to life, to new life. And I believe today that if people will seek the Lord, and I don't know how God does it, I can't, you can't manufacture it, you can't make it happen, but if a person will seek God with all of their heart and give themselves to the Lord and put him first in their life, I believe the Lord can be revealed. He said, to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? And I'm thankful today that he has been revealed to many of us. And we thank God today for what he has done and what he can do when we seek him with our hearts and our lives and we humble ourselves before him. The Lord can take and give life where there was nothing before. And that's what really gives me probably the strongest evidence. I believe the scriptures, but I believe the scriptures because one reason, I know what he did for me in my life. I know the direction that I was going. I know the sins that had dominion over me. And I know the change that took place in my heart. The desires of my heart changed. And the Lord gave me life. And that gives me today the strongest evidence of Jesus' resurrection. Brother Galen read in Sunday school, 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter. He said, if there's no resurrection, if Christ didn't rise from the dead, our faith is in vain. He said, you're still yet in your sins if Christ didn't rise from the grave. But I'm thankful today that I believe that he did rise from the dead. He gave his life. He paid the price. He bore our sins. He bore our griefs. He bore our sorrows. Yes, we do have grief. We do have sorrow in life. But you know, the Lord can help us through those times because he's been there. He can enable us through those times. And I think about sometimes when situations look like they have the death sentence on them, so to speak. It looks like it just has the death sentence. You don't see how it's going to work out. And the Lord can step in and change. And you stand in amazement. How in the world did that happen? We serve an amazing God. And that he loved us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Oh, if we could only comprehend and get a hold of the revelation of Christ in our heart, in our life. He can be revealed to all of us. And I believe the Lord wants to reveal, even as we go through life, there are times when we need special help, special strength. There are times when the journey is just too great for us within ourselves. And the Lord can help us in those times. He can strengthen us. He hath borne our grief and our sorrows. And I think of the scripture in Revelations. It says, blessed is he that hath part in the first resurrection, upon whom the second death has no power. The first resurrection, we sang about it. A resurrection, I confess, has taken place within my breast. I've been awakened from the dead, and now I live with Christ instead. I've been awakened from the dead, from living a dead life and trespasses and sins. I've been awakened from that. And it says, upon him the second death hath no power. You know what that means to us? That means eternal life. That means that if we've taken part in the first resurrection, and we're walking with Christ and we're living for him, when he comes back again, the second death will have no power over us. We'll be able to live with God eternally. I hope this morning that we all appreciate, I hope we value what Jesus has done for us. I hope it resonates in our heart. I hope it's a personal message for each one of us, that Christ can live within us, that he can be our God and our Savior and help us. There's another scripture that says, say not in thy heart, that is to bring Christ down again from above, and or to bring him up again from the dead. But it says, what saith it? It is in thy mouth and in thy lips the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt believe with all thy heart the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved. You know, it's a simple gospel. It's a simple plan. And I believe it works, don't you? Haven't we seen, you know, talked about the 500 witnesses, but haven't we seen the effects of God working in people's lives? Haven't we seen lives changed that were this one way one time, and then we see him a totally different way another time? That's a witness. That's a witness. And the scripture talks about we are encompassed with such a great cloud of witnesses. I'm thankful today for the gospel. I'm thankful for what the Lord has done and what the Lord has revealed. And I value it very highly, and I want us all to cherish and value the resurrection, the coming back to life, that death could not hold him. And Brother Galen brought out in Sunday school, there's going to be a resurrection when the Lord comes back, another resurrection. Do you believe that? We haven't seen it, but do you believe it? You believe the Lord's coming back someday? Like he said, when he ascended, he said, the angels told them and said, as he's going to return in like manner, as you've seen him, they were looking up. He left. He rose. He started going up, and the disciples watched him. And the angel says, why do you stand gazing up into the heavens? The same Jesus is going to come again in like manner. He's going to descend. Do we believe that this morning? I think we do. I believe we do. And Jesus, in one place, he said, marvel not, the hour is coming in which all that are in the graves shall come forth. Do we believe that this morning? We're going to come forth, all that are in the graves. How does that happen? Don't ask me. I don't know how the Lord created all this world. I don't know how all that happened. I know He spoke. But all the graves will come forth. They that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. You know, our greatest goal, our greatest aim should be to be able to meet the Lord in peace when He comes, and to get as many as possible as we can to want to meet Him in peace too. That should be our life, the overriding influence of our life. I know we have responsibilities. I know we have cares. I know we have things that we have to, bills to pay. But the overriding goal and everything that our life should be focused on is that day when the Lord comes back, being ready to meet Him in peace. That should be our life's work, our life's goal and labor. And it takes work. It takes forgiving when we don't feel like forgiving. It takes keeping our hearts, allowing the Spirit of God to work in our lives, to keep our hearts clean and pure in His sight. So Lord, encourage us this morning. The Lord has done so much for us. He's done so much. I hate to think about where I would be today. It'd definitely be an ugly picture. Where I'd be at today if I hadn't prayed and sought the Lord and humbled my heart before Him. I hate to think where I would be today. But I'm thankful that God resurrected me and gave me life. And I'm thankful for what He's done for you. Let's appreciate today. Let's value the sacrifice. Let's hold on to Christ with all of our hearts and lives. Appreciate your attention this morning.